Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hour two on this Tuesday, Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. One of our favorite reporters, Diana Rossini from the Mothership, will join us, covers the NFL. Shaq Barrett, he'll join us a little later on, the Buccaneers linebacker. He got paid. And Sean Payton, the Saints head coach, will join us coming up as well. We'll get to phone calls in this second hour, 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address, dp at danpatrick.com. Twitter handle at DP Show. Golf fans, the Honda Classic this week. And you can get the coverage on Golf Channel and NBC Sports. McLovin, poll question results from the first hour.
Will Bill Belichick win another Super Bowl? 84% say no.
Okay.
I have a free agency poll.
Okay.
When you hear your team signed a guy, is your first reaction, great, we got another player, or, ooh, that's a lot of money, this might not work out?
Well, I never know if it's true money that we're talking about, because the agent's job is to give the impression that his client just signed for the max. And it's not always that. We know that. And I think once you get into the weeds and you find out, okay, maybe that isn't that big of a contract, that exorbitant. But then there are other ones when you go, oh, no, they did pay a lot. The Patriots paid an awful lot to get younger yesterday. And by all accounts, they did a pretty good job. Now, there are a lot of teams that win in March. They win in free agency. You got to win in September, in October, in November. Because we've had teams that may have made a big splash, and then all of a sudden you go, yeah, where'd they end up? A lot of these teams. I applaud teams who at least try, that they go out and they spend money. Remember when Belichick was talking about the Patriots had no money? That was a year ago. Where'd they get that money? All of a sudden, you know, they're spending like drunk sailors on a weekend. I'll take one of them and one of those and one of them and one of those, and here we go. Patriots, they're ready to go. Yeah, Paul.
I think as a, like, if speaking as a local fan, like if you're a fan of a team, I don't think it matters what the price is. If I feel that my team signed a player on a position where we stink, like if you have a bad offensive line, if I'm a Chiefs fan and they lost two offensive linemen in the past 2 weeks, but then they sign an offensive line, I'm like, we addressed that. I don't know if we actually address that, but when you see a name that helps your team at a certain position and feels a weakness, you feel better.
The Buccaneers are getting the band back together, or at least they're trying, and I'm going to give their front office a lot of credit. I mean, it helps that Brady, you know, he created some salary cap space with his contract. Yesterday, they re-signed Shaq Barrett, and possibly the biggest prize in the entire free agency class. It's a four-year deal, $72 million, $36 million guaranteed. It's a lot of money, but it doesn't feel like it's a whole lot for the position that is the most coveted in the NFL. And signing Barrett takes some pressure off Tampa, because later in the day, they got Rob Gronkowski for another year. They already franchise tagged Chris Godwin. Now they work out something with Ndamukong Suh, Antonio Brown, Leonard Fournette. There's talk right now that Leonard Fournette is weighing an offer, according to Albert Breer, the Monday Morning Quarterback, to stay in Tampa. And, or the other possibility is Seattle made a strong offer to him. But Brady is trying to keep Leonard Fournette in Tampa. But you have Antonio Brown. Do you bring him back? Leonard Fournette and Ndamukong Suh. But, you know, if you're one of these players, you're probably thinking, maybe one more year with Tampa. You know, Tom's 43, but you're not going to bet against him. The defense, you know, Lavonte David, they re-signed him. So you give me Barrett and David, I'm good. I like that defense a lot. It's a young defense, and you know how I feel about it. And I said that's the reason why they won the Super Bowl. Also, when you look at the Kansas City Chiefs, and they signed one of the Patriots linemen, Joe Tooney, and he's very good. But the Chiefs had to get their offensive line in gear, because as we saw, keep this in mind. Go back to the previous Super Bowl against San Francisco. And, you know, the pressure that Bosa put on Mahomes in that Super Bowl, he would have been the MVP. Could have been the MVP. Had San Francisco won, Bosa was that much of an impact. But when you have an offensive line that is average or suspect, it makes somebody as talented as Patrick Mahomes average. We never want to admit that. When you have that offensive line, it's amazing how good you can look. Mahomes is a wonderful talent. But what happened last year in the Super Bowl, this past year, with Tampa Bay? They made Mahomes look average. Got to have the offensive line. Dak Prescott, rookie year, offensive line. Couple of Hall of Famers up there. Zeke Elliott, everything was great, 13-3. If you don't have that offensive line, you're not going anywhere. You know, the Colts now, as opposed to when they had Andrew Luck left the game because they didn't have an offensive line. Now you have one of the best offensive linemen in football and a future Hall of Famer in Quentin Nelson. And we don't talk about the Colts offensive line anymore. And if I'm Carson Wentz, those are my best friends. And that's why I think Wentz will have a comeback year. But even as good as Patrick Mahomes is, the first three quarters of the Super Bowl, he was average or below average. You put pressure on any quarterback. I don't care who it is. You're going to be average. Aaron Rodgers, NFC title game, put pressure on him. Mahomes in the Super Bowl, put pressure on him. Average. Brady had time. When Brady doesn't have time, it's not pretty. That's why getting these offensive linemen, a lot of times we look at the skill position and we go, oh, that team, oh, they made a big splash. They got a wide receiver or they got a tight end. I want to know when you get the guys that, you know, aren't that headline name, you know, it's like you got to read down in the body of the story and you go, and by the way, they also added such and such and such and such. We never focus on those players, but those are the focus. That's the focus we should have. Because those are the guys who are going to decide how successful you are. And I love what Tampa did with the defense. Being able to keep everybody. Fournette was wonderful in the playoffs, certainly in the Super Bowl. Do I need Antonio Brown back? No. And Ndamukong Suh played well, but I don't know what he wants. When you win that Super Bowl, now it's different. Now, Leonard Fournette won a Super Bowl. Now you go, I want to get paid. Because he was on the rookie deal when he went to Jacksonville. You know, but it has to be hard to go, God, I got another chance of winning a Super Bowl with this team. Or do I want more money? And when you have that Super Bowl ring, it's easier to go, you know, I'm going to take the money. Yes, Eden.
But man, if you're like looking at, I could stay with the Buccaneers and win another Super Bowl, or I could go over to a 13-3 team and get paid a bunch. Still pretty close to the Super Bowl. I mean, Seahawks is like, it's not like you're landing in a terrible spot, you know? Granted, I know everything with Russell Wilson right now, but they're still pretty good.
Yeah, but it feels like they already have three running backs. And now you're going to bring in Leonard Fournette. You got a team that feels like it's in a little disarray there. Meanwhile, everything's good with Tom. Got my defense back. You know, I don't need to carry the ball all the time. I can be fresh. I could just chill like Gronk does. Leonard Fournette could go, you know, I'm just going to do what Gronk does. You know, just do my job and then wait till the postseason and then you can give me all the carries you want. It's like Gronk. There were games when the Buccaneers played, I didn't even hear Gronk's name called. He was semi-retired, I think, last year. And then catch the touchdown pass in the Super Bowl. He's having fun. You know, that atmosphere, something to be said for that. With the opportunity, players would go to New England because of Tom Brady. They knew that they had a chance if Tom Brady was there. And that's the same way with Tampa Bay. Do you want to leave a situation where that dude might win another Super Bowl? And, you know, what he did with his salary, spread it out, whatever they do, however they doctor it, you kept two really impressive defensive players. Yeah, Pulling.
This just in from Adam Schefter. The Patriots have signed another player. Tight end Hunter Henry, remember him on the Chargers?
Chargers. Yeah.
$37 million, including $25 million guaranteed.
Okay.
Jonnu Smith and Hunter Henry, the tight ends in New England.
That's great. I mean, Smith is a really good tight end. Really good. But Hunter Henry was really good a couple of years ago, and then he got injured. Well, every Charger gets injured, but it's a three-year deal there, $25 million guaranteed. That's impressive. I like that. If Hunter Henry can still play healthy, yeah. But Jonnu Smith can play. He could be really good in that offense. Yeah, McLevin.
Cam Newton's good at throwing a tight end. Greg Olsen and him were great together.
Yeah.
And now it's like the Aaron Hernandez Gronk again.
Oh, boy.
Well, not quite.
You can't say that anymore, right?
Yeah. Not quite.
Well, he did invent that field. Double tight end.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
Feels a little bit like Bill Belichick's greatest hits, though. I don't know.
Well, it did work out.
Yeah.
Sort of. For a little while.
Yeah, they re-signed Hernandez to like a $100 million deal.
Oh, I know. I know. That's one of those where you go, did anybody, like if I'm giving you $100 million, I need to find out everything about you just a little bit. How do you spend your money now that you have it? He had issues in college. Urban Meyer was his coach, and Urban Meyer is friends with Bill Belichick. Like, okay, I'm going to ask you, you're going to co-sign on this? Yeah, he got some trouble, but he's a really talented kid. Okay, we'll take him. Now I want to find out how you spend your money. When you get your money, money reveals a whole lot about people. And, you know, he scared people in the building. Aaron Hernandez scared people. Like, he did not play games. When he got there, he would not let you treat him like a rookie. He scared people. Professional football players. Yeah, Paul.
Gronk and Aaron Hernandez were taken the same draft. Gronk was round two, Aaron Hernandez round four out of Florida.
By the way, guess who's also lurking as another option for Leonard Fournette? Fritzy?
Washington.
No. McLevin?
My Philadelphia Eagles.
No. Seton?
I have no idea.
Okay. Paulie?
Like, not one of 32 teams.
I don't know. The Jets.
Jets, no. Oh, yeah. Paulie?
The Chiefs.
The Patriots.
Yes.
Which would be interesting that they would be taking him from Tom Brady. And the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Yes, McLevin.
They have like eight running backs, though.
I know.
They have Damian Harris, Sony Michel, all these guys. That's the last thing they need.
Let's see what you do without Fournette, Tom.
Do they still have Rex Burkhead? Is he still there, too?
I don't know.
I have no idea. Yeah, Paul.
Remember the draft? Bill Belichick was sitting there, and he had the little dog next to him.
Nike.
Is the dog hitting the computer and just signing these guys? is Bill at the new, you know, like Martha's Vineyard or something? The dog is hitting sign on the
computer. Or if, you know, if Belichick gets up to go get a drink and the dog hits the key that says yes to somebody. Hey, what are you thinking? Yes or no? Yes. Who said yes to that deal? I came from your computer, Bill. Yes, McLevin.
To give the Pats credit, they sent out a picture of that dog at the computer last night to say, this is the guy making the picks. So they are all, you know, the Pats realize this is a crazy time.
Oh, great. If they're going to blame somebody, they're going to blame a poor little dog.
By the way, the Houston Texans, Nick Caserio, made all these smart, low-cost signings yesterday. It's the reviews out there. He signed a bunch of guys for like $2 million that are good values. Was he the genius behind the Patriots?
I don't know. It hasn't gone well since he's been in Houston.
That wasn't his fault. He inherited all that, didn't he?
I guess. But he's not fixing it.
How curious are you about the Patriots next year to see where this all goes?
Well, I'm always curious, but They're not even the best team in their own division. And if they're not careful, the Dolphins are going to pass him if they already haven't. You know, the Dolphins are sitting there with the third pick overall. You got a a Belichick disciple there. They're a team that's sneaky good. Yes, Todd.
And if you're a Patriots fan, what would be considered a successful season? Winning one playoff game, getting into a road wild card game? What is it?
Beating Tom Brady during the regular season. That's the most important thing. Is that game in New England or in Tampa? God, it's got to be in New England, right? Seton?
Yeah, Todd loves to throw out the, but what would be a divisional round home game? Is that a success for you? The very specific, a wild card away game?
They barely get in. And
so,
they lose
so not
a road
winning wild- a wild card game at home, it's yeah. a road.
I mean, how could you possibly right. say that that's road a success? Wild- divisional round playoff, is that a success for this team?
You believe they're interested in going to the Super Bowl?
A road wild card win? Is that a
couple of years ago, you asked Todd what he wanted for his Broncos this year. He goes, I'd like a first round playoff loss.
Yeah. Like a road playoff
that's
loss.
That's as far as I saw the road. Like, I'd even get there.
I'd be satisfied with a first round road playoff loss.
Lose in overtime on the road in a wild
card. That they won 36-12, and the next year it was 45-15, and then the one after that.
You're a weird dude.
I am.
If I was going to rank in weirdness, well, no, it's Fritzy. First and foremost, he's emeritus. He's the winner. Ding, 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 ding.
Great.
The least weird? Yeah, McLeod.
You have to distinguish on air and off air.
Right, because Todd is the weirdest. He's also the realist.
Yeah, well, Todd is Todd. That's why people always say, is Todd, does he put on an act? And I go, no. You should see when we're not on the air. That's when the real Todd appears. McLovin on the air and off the air, different. Seton same, on and off. Paulie intrigues me a little bit more because I still don't know who he is. And it's only been like...
We've been together about 18 years? 19?
Yeah, I still don't know Paulie.
Is that by design?
Maybe. Maybe.
A man of mystery?
Yeah, but I know everything about Todd. Everything. There are things I don't want to know about Todd and I know.
I have shared a little too much of Todd.
Yes, yes.
Both on and off the air.
Yes, everything. But I will say that's who you are. Like, you get to show up for work and you just get to be yourself. You don't have to be somebody. McLovin is smart enough to, play dumb sometimes.
Well, the thing about Paulie, though, is we see a lot of Paul's life. Like, the text thread is, he's not shy about what he's doing. He kind of shares, his meals with us on air.
And yet hates when other people share those things
oh, I know.
In that text thread. Paul is odd. He's very interesting fella because he's got a lot of very particular hang-ups.
Yes.
We just did a look in over at the big screen
big
over
screen,
there,
yeah.
right? And Paul is very focused on got to change up the seats, guys. Got to move around. Got to keep it interesting, kind of thing. Like, no assigned seats here. No assigned seats. Where nobody cares about that, and nobody's watching. Like, hey, look, they're in different seats this time. But Paul's like, no. Got to keep it interesting. Got to move around the seats.
Well, I don't like when people get too deep into routines. I think it makes life boring. It's kind of like when the movie with the Dead Poets Society. You got to change up your views. Mm. And people get really comfortable doing the same exact thing every day, sitting in the same exact spot.
Yeah, but you sit in the same exact chair for the morning meeting.
That's why I like to mix it up occasionally.
But you just said to mix it up 20 minutes
and
ago.
And isn't the act of watching a video over there the same thing? That's what would need to change up, not like who's sitting in what seat.
I'm up for that.
You know what I mean, right? Isn't that?
Yeah. Yeah, McLovin.
See, I think Paul's pretty close on air and off air. I don't think he's super different. I think he's pretty similar. I don't see him as a man of mystery, really. I think he's pretty upfront.
You guys know all my interests, my hobbies.
I've Picadillos.
Yeah, I've told you all my lame sports stories. Picadillos.
Yeah.
Is it a barbecue joint down in Mississippi?
Or some type of shoes that children wear.
Yeah.
Oh, you're wearing your picadillos today, buddy? Come
like,
on in.
There's certain meals you eat that you don't want to tell Paulie about. See, it's right. Like, you cannot tell Paulie you ate pizza from a generic store because he will get so mad. He's like,
correct.
Life is too short to eat from a chain restaurant.
And
he gets all upset about that.
And he notices what you wear. If you have a new pair of shoes, oh, yeah. Paulie will notice that.
I blame that on the scenario here that we work with five people generally for 20 years. When we worked at ESPN, there's thousands of people milling about the hallways.
Yeah.
We're in a room where we're kind of like, it's like biosphere here or whatever it's called. So we see the same people. So I notice you're like Seton has a new pair of jeans. He tried to say they're old jeans, that they're obviously new.
So this is what I love most about Paul is that he'll disagree with you about things that he couldn't possibly know. So like I've had these jeans for probably 2 years. And, oh, new jeans? I'm like, no, I don't know about that. Like, why wouldn't I just admit they were new jeans? Why would I lie about that?
I wish I knew why you lied about your jeans.
I had a new pair of tennis shoes, but they weren't, I hadn't worn them, but they were about 6 months old. I had worn them once, and then I wore them again. Paulie goes, oh, new shoes, huh? I go, no, not really. Yeah, well, I don't know. I said, yeah, I had them before. I don't know. why am I arguing?
Why am I debating this with you?
Yeah, yes, Todd.
But yeah, but that's the thing. Like, what are you supposed to do with that? What is the next part of the conversation? Just kind of lies flat. It's one thing to notice it, but then when you're calling someone out on, didn't you just wear that shirt last Thursday? Then whether it's yes or no, what's the point?
Well, he does do that
to you. Is
there
an Excel sheet keeping
Mario,
track of everyone's calling?
Go pull last Thursday and get me a picture of Todd's shirt.
Yes.
I need to do it.
Yes.
it changes my whole day. I walk in here at 6:45 and there's nothing going on. Then Fritzy walks in on a Monday wearing the same outfit he wore on a Thursday. I'm like, that's fascinating. Was it laundered? Was it not laundered?
Now, more fascinating that Todd wore the same thing from Thursday to Monday, or that you noticed that he wore
that
the same
you
thing.
Noticed
that,
it.
That's the bizarre part.
Yes,
that's fair.
That is.
Yeah.
Like the things that you zero in on.
Todd wore that on Thursday. What?
Yes.
I have an unusual awareness, not a healthy awareness.
You do.
It's unusual.
I'm watching Diana Rossini watch this conversation on Zoom right now.
She
by
should
the way,
tap out.
Trying to think of ways to get out of this interview.
No, my bad. Let me take a break.
She's smart and she's talented. Get out of here.
I know.
Diana.
I know.
Try to communicate with like five different GMs at the same time and listen to us.
Yeah, listen to us nonsense.
At least it's Friday.
Yeah. All right, let me take a break. Diana Rossini will join us on loan from the mothership. And, J.J. Watt just signed up for the Celebrity Bracket Challenge. Clayton Kershaw did. And if you get the newsletter, there's a link there for you to submit your bracket, and you'll be in with our Celebrity Bracket Challenge with Michael Douglas, the great actors in it. What an eclectic group. Unbelievable. And Bryan Cranston's talking trash here. He loves Luca Garza at Iowa. He's calling Luca Brasi. Because he's the godfather.
He's got the winning bracket. He's got like exclamation points left and right all over the place.
Todd, I
got
to take a break.
Oh, you do?
Yes.
We're being rude to Diana.
Diana's waiting right now.
He's got other things to do.
23 after the hour here on the Dan Patrick Show. I worked up a sweat there. I'm in a lather. Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year automatically. No limit on how much you can earn. That's pretty amazing. In fact, even more amazing, because of all the places where Discover is accepted. 99% of the places in the United States that take credit cards take Discover. So when it comes to Discover, get used to hearing the word yes more often. You get all of the cash back you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year, and that happens automatically. Learn more at discover.com/yes. Discover.com/yes. 2021 Nielsen report limitations apply. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
877-3DP-SHOW. Email address, dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter handle at DP Show. Are they the greatest rock and roll band of all time? No, but they're my favorite rock and roll band of all time. The Stones are the greatest rock and roll band of all time. But Zeppelin, there's something about the sound of Zeppelin that's just a little bit different. And I start with the drums with John Bonham, the greatest rock and roll drummer of all time. Somehow we make the smooth segue to Diana Rossini, the ESPN NFL reporter, and she'll be part of SportsCenter's special today, NFL Free Agency Countdown, today and tomorrow at 3 Eastern on ESPN. You had the opportunity to bow out if you wanted to after that last segment, Diana. So I do appreciate you holding on for dear life here and joining this program.
No way. I was laughing. I was listening. And I was working at the same time. So you were distracting me a bit. I had a couple typos in my text messages. So if I get any info wrong today, ooh, I would hope that this show steps up and just takes full blame for you know, getting me off the ball here, because, you know, it's still early here and we got a lot of action, Dan.
All right. You have the special today. Just based off what has happened so far in free agency, what will be the lead story on ESPN's SportsCenter special on free agency?
For today?
Yeah.
I think the wide receiver market and the corner market is going to start taking off. It was really quiet yesterday, which I wasn't really surprised, because I knew those pass rushers were going to be flying off because every team seemed like they were in on that and wanted a piece of it. Look, we can talk about all the pieces of these free agents and the fits and who the big players are and the big names. But at the end of all of this, I still think the quarterback conversation is the biggest one, which sounds predictable, but I think this offseason especially, knowing Deshaun Watson's situation not being happy, this Russell Wilson situation in Seattle that I could comfortably call not happy, the Chicago Bears haven't done anything at the quarterback position, the Jets seem open to trading Sam Darnold. So if something were to happen there, obviously that's going to be our lead. And it could, Dan, it could. Something could happen today with that.
Yeah, I wonder about Sam Darnold. I mentioned this last hour that he could really change quite a few things. If Sam Darnold's traded, where's he traded to? You know, could it be Seattle? If you don't get a quarterback in return for the Bears, then I got Sam Darnold, who's 23 years of age. And I don't know the possibility of that, because I know Seattle doesn't want to. Russ won't go to the Jets, but could you get Sam Darnold and still capitalize on a desperate Chicago Bears organization?
Yeah, and that seems to be the tone of the trade, of it actually happening. It's all about desperation, what the Chicago Bears are willing to give up. And I look at it like this. Nagy and Pace are essentially on one-year deals now, right? They need to win. So if you're them, what do you care about mortgaging in the future? You're just trying to keep a job. So everything is on the table there in Chicago. I know that. They are looking at every single option. But here's the problem. When these talks started to pick up, I'd say about 2 weeks ago, in regards to Seattle actually picking up the call, actually listening to offers, I had a team that I was talking to that I know was interested. And they said, look, forget the cap hit. Stop getting all caught up on that. And it's funny, this one GM said, I saw you on TV today, and I'm not saying you sounded dumb, but you sounded dumb. yeah, which is always my favorite. I'm like, no, thank you. You can maneuver around cap hits. Don't get caught up in that. And it was a good lesson to just remember that when we're talking about these things, because I do think everyone gets bogged down of, you know, why would Seattle do that? Why would they? Apparently, they can make that work. That's not the issue. The issue is Seattle just doesn't have the answer at quarterback.
Yeah.
They're okay with dealing. They want to play. Just what's their answer? And that seems to be the biggest issue right now when it comes to that actually going down.
If I'm the Bears, I go after Deshaun Watson, though, Diana, because I got a guy 7 years younger. And if I'm going to put everything on the table and whatever you want, Deshaun Watson's already under contract. Russ is going to go to the Bears and go, oh, by the way, I'd like to be the second highest paid quarterback in the league, which nobody's talking about. Russ isn't going there to play for his old salary. What do you think about the Bears all in on Deshaun instead?
Yeah, Russ is going to get paid. Here's the problem with Deshaun, and I hate continually saying the same thing because everyone keeps hearing it and it's frustrating. Houston is not trading Deshaun Watson. They're not doing it at this point right now. And the closer you're looking at the calendar and as the league year is coming, and you start thinking, if they're going to make a move, if they're going to be forced to make a move later in the year, they need to start thinking about this now. But the problem is, everyone I've spoken to who has interest in Deshaun Watson, which you could assume it's a lot of teams right now, have told me that Caserio is a pro and he's polite. He's open to talking, but you bring up Watson and a trade offer and the conversation ends there. They're not even willing to go there. And I spoke to a couple players that are on the free agent market, even some players that have recently signed with Houston. And as much as I was kind of quick to congratulate them on signing in Houston, even though it kind of felt like it felt a little phony. I was curious of, well, what did they tell you about who's going to play quarterback? You know, like you're signing with a new team. Yeah. You want your money, but you want to, I mean, if I'm a player, I want to know what the situation is. And it's funny. It's management is telling players Deshaun will be here. And the players who all talk to Deshaun are saying Deshaun is digging in. He is digging in and willing not to play.
Hey, we're talking to Diana Rossini. You can see her part of ESPN SportsCenter special. That'll be at 3 Eastern today, NFL free agency countdown. The Saints situation, we got Sean Payton on next hour, but is somebody in front of somebody there with the quarterbacking situation with Jameis now coming back and Taysom Hill still there in camp?
Which I sent Coach Payton a text message early this morning. I said, thank God I'm going first here. I mean, I don't know who books the show, but they're brilliant because the last person I want to follow is Sean Payton. He's dynamic and brilliant and entertaining. And so thank you guys for helping me out here. But
does he have a starting quarterback?
I think he does. I think he thinks he does. Sean is going to fill your air in about an hour with how much he loves Jameis Winston. And I will always say if I could find one person in my life who loves me as much as Sean Payton loves Taysom Hill, you know, I probably would have been married years ago instead of waiting late in my life here because he truly does. So it's so interesting speaking to the team and to coach about that dynamic at the quarterback position, because he really likes both of them. And I think Jameis challenges them. And coach is one of these guys. He loves taking a player like Jameis who really has that natural ability and coaching him up and teaching him the way, you know, to be a more decisive, more accurate type passer. And the players on the Saints have always told me, always from, I mean, we're going back to camp, how incredible Jameis is as just, you know, being part of that organization. Cause that's one of the strongest locker rooms of any teams in the NFL without a doubt. So it's going to be from what I understand, it's going to be a quarterback competition come the summer. He's going to make them compete and have at it and see who comes out. But I think coach is in a great position here because, you know, you can play either of these guys. If Jameis becomes a starter, you have Taysom playing in this sort of utility position. I mean, pretty much playing everywhere for him. So we'll see. But I was told it's going to be a competition.
Does your husband love you as much as Sean Payton loves Taysom Hill?
No.
Okay.
My husband loves the Eagles. That's about it. It ends there. It's so funny. This whole free agency thing, Dan, is such a weird part of your job as an NFL reporter because it's such a love-hate thing because, look, it's Adam Schefter and Ian Rappaport. As much as I like to come on here and be like I'm a big newsbreaker, I get the little guys. Once in a while, I get the big fish, but I get paid to really cover the game during the season, and I enjoy it. But the problem is I love to compete, and I love messing with – I love Adam Schefter. I have all the respect in the world, but I enjoy – trying to get a couple from him. And he's open to it. He knows what I'm doing all the time. He's like, go for it, die, go. But just your life Monday through Friday during free agency, it's so unhealthy. You know, like I told my husband on Sunday, I said, don't expect any food. Don't expect water in the house. We're in the middle of a move. Our place is a dump right now. And so I guess he does love me enough to understand and support me here. But it's really a sick part of this job that I enjoy, and I may love this more than him, so we're even.
Why do we assume the Patriots know what they're doing in free agency?
I don't know why we do. I think Bill Belichick, we give him all the credit because he's the greatest coach of all time. But I'm watching this spending spree here. And it's here's Bill Parcells taught me this years ago. He said, stop trying to figure out what teams are going to do. The answer's right in front of you. Nobody changes their style. They go by the history of what they do. For example, we know the Colts, they've got so much money right now. They're not spending any money in free agency. They never do. So It's exactly what Bill says. So then you look at New England here and it's like, I mean, no offense, Parcells, you're wrong here because they are not doing what they normally do. They're going outside the box. But
I didn't think they had any money though, Diana. Remember when Brady was there and then like they got $137 million in guarantees right now that they've spent in less than 24 hours. Where's that money coming from?
Two superb tight ends too.
Yeah.
Jonnu Smith, Hunter Henry. Like these are legit tight ends. And you know, originally when I started to see the signings, you know, he picks up a guy from Miami, picks up a, you know, Jonnu Smith from Tennessee, and you're putting the connections. You know, these are players who have been in sort of that New England system with Mike Vrabel in Tennessee and Brian Flores in Miami. There's not going to be a culture shock, you know, when they arrive in New England. So I thought that was smart. And, you know, a lot of the beat reporters have been doing a great job of digging up a lot of the quotes that Belichick has had on these players. And he's had this like love affair with all these free agents that nobody even knew about until now that we've discovered. They're finding they have money. They obviously have a lot of it.
Yeah.
But forget what they're doing. This is all so interesting and fun, but who is the quarterback? That to me, they can sign every Pro Bowl player that's on the market. But to me, I don't think Cam Newton's the answer. I think he's a placeholder until they figure out what they want to do. And historically, not that they're sticking with that script, but we know what Bill does. He drafts mid-round. You know, we've seen it, Ryan Merritt, Jared Stidham, Jimmy Garoppolo. You know, these are mid-round guys. And that's usually where they go for a quarterback. Granted, they had Tom Brady all these years, so they didn't really need to go. But that, I just think this is really interesting that they're building as if they've got a guy there.
Thanks for joining us. Thanks for putting up with us. And have fun today on the SportsCenter special at 3 Eastern NFL Free Agency Countdown. Diana, thank you for joining us. Good luck with the move. And hopefully that the free agency period, you survive, your marriage survives that.
Yeah, thank you. Just give Coach Payton a little shout out for me. Say, hey, Rossini says you can't keep up with her, even if you try to be entertaining. So.
No, I'm going to say that Sean loves Taysom Hill more than Diana's husband loves her.
Oh, he's fully aware of that. Sean was invited to my wedding and all that. He knows my marriage is on the rocks.
Thank you, Diana.
Thanks, guys.
That's Diana Rossini, NFL reporter for the Mothership. We'll take a break. Phone call's coming up back after this. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. Coming up top of the hour, Shaq Barrett re-signed with the Buccaneers, and the New Orleans Saints head coach, Sean Payton, will join us. Mark in Tampa joins us on the program. Mark, good morning. What's on your mind?
You talking about Led Zeppelin being your favorite band, and since it's tournament week, probably about like a year or so guy, me and the guys at work were debating, like, if you put rock and roll bands in seats at like in an NCAA tournament, who would your four number one seeds be? You know, we've agreed that the Beatles and the Stones are ones. Led Zeppelin's probably one. Who's your fourth one?
Oh, I don't know. Thank you, Mark. Yes,
it's probably Styx.
Leave off the probably.
And if not, Rush.
Rush is emeritus. Zeppelin, Stones, Styx.
Would people put the Who in that spot? Some people would. I don't think you would.
I wouldn't, but I would give them maybe a number two seed. I love Seton's face. Whenever I bring up the Who and how great the Who is, Seton's always got this look like, oh, disgust. Yeah. Never going to change. I know that. It's okay. It's all right.
Bob O'Reilly's a good song.
Yeah. I like how, you know, when somebody says, you know, I love The Who. I love that song, Teenage Wasteland. I go, it's called Bob O'Reilly. No, the one Teenage Way. I said, it's Bob O'Reilly. Yeah. Maybe not that big of a Who fan, are you? Nah, I didn't think so. Who would I put? No, it's kind of like your Mount Rushmore. You're given four number one seeds.
No one's
there.
Ever done that.
Yeah, no. I'd rather not.
Of music? Nope.
Yeah. Yeah. Because, see, the Beatles deserve their own mountain, their own tournament. Like, the Beatles are, you know, they're in a league of their own. But if you're going to have greatest rock and roll bands of all time, Stones I certainly start with, and Zeppelin. But after that, I'm not quite sure. I don't know if anybody's up there with them.
What if we did our individual four favorite bands of all time and see if you can guess who's the who's?
Well, I know I'd be able to guess.
It's so easy.
Yes.
And you know what? Damn it. Why doesn't anybody ever mention Pink Floyd in that list? Pink Floyd is somehow to be underrated. They're underappreciated.
I don't know if people could name the songs by Pink Floyd. And maybe that hurts them. Because if you do Money from Dark Side of the Moon or Time, but after that, you know, Pigs, like they don't, that's an album you just listen to. You don't go, what's the name of that song?
You're like, when did this one song end and the other one begin? I'm not really sure.
I would be able to pick out, I know Todd's music. I'd be able to pick that out. Yeah, McLovin.
By the way, U2's got to be close to that list too.
Yeah, I think they're up there.
They fill out huge stadiums, just like.
Yeah.
They don't make stadium rock bands. Now, like a different kind of people fill out stadiums.
Well, just longevity. You got to factor that in.
Why is popular music so popular?
Thank you, McLovin.
Yeah, mine's like the early 2000s Canadian indie rock band Wolf Parade is going to be on there for sure.
Didn't you do like Velvet Underground?
Yeah, Velvet Underground.
Yeah, great. Yeah, great.
Built to Spill, Guided by Voices. Cliche.
Fritzy's going to be Hall & Oates, Billy Joel.
Run DMC.
Yeah.
I did like Styx. I don't know if I would be in my top four, but that Babe song, I used to love that.
Oh,
singing with your eyes closed.
Love that. That's a big shower
Babe,
song.
Babe, I love you.
Must be all my work.
Yeah, you got to sing with your eyes closed.
And
babe.
I'll be lonely.
I didn't say you should.
Just in general.
Yes.
All people should.
Yes.
Is Todd a guy who hated early Chicago and liked later Chicago, the opposite of everyone else?
Peter Cetera.
Who sung The Search Is Over? I love that song, too. Is that the late Chicago?
You just proved his point.
The Search Is Over. That's a big one.
It'd be better if Todd sung with his mouth closed.
His eyes open and his mouth closed.
Yeah, can you mime us a few songs?
So, you guys are just beyond the worst.
Aerosmith's in there. Longevity. Hits.
They 3-seed?
Maybe a 3-seed.
I don't know.
Maybe.
It starts getting a little murky in there.
U2 is maybe gets snubbed as a 1-seed. But yeah, they're in the conversation there. David Bowie's in there. Elvis in there.
Are those bands or one person?
Well,
things?
Bowie is, you know, Ziggy Stardust and the Spiders from Mars, I guess, if you wanted to do that. Well, you could do individuals and you could do band. And now I don't want to do this. I'm good. I got a busy final hour coming up here. Sean Payton, Shaq Barrett. Shaq Barrett's in our celebrity bracket challenge. Final hour on the way on this Tuesday. Dan Patrick Show. Close out the second hour. I got a shipment yesterday. And I wasn't going to share. I thought, you know what? Let me just put this in my office. But being a team player, I put the Built Bars out in the mailroom. So.
Very generous.
Yeah. I probably made a big mistake with that. But there's some great flavors in there. And every time you take a bite, you almost have to remind yourself, wait, this is a protein bar? High protein, low sugar, low calorie. And there's so many great flavors there. You can try the salted caramel, mint brownie, cookies and cream, coconut. I lost track of how many. Is there 16 flavors or 18 flavors? Not quite sure. BuiltBar.com, use the promo code DP20, you get 20% off your first order. You won't believe how good they taste. And a lot of times, the better something is for you, the worse it tastes. BuiltBar.com, promo code DP20, get 20% off. BuiltBar.com, enter the promo code DP20.